The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, the disciples asked Jesus to grant them seats of honor. Jesus responds by announcing that he and his followers will rule through self-giving service. I begin reading at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in the Gospel according to Mark, James and John come up to Jesus and demand that Jesus do something for them. They want to be in the places of honor when he comes into his glory. Now in Matthew's Gospel, the story is told in just a little bit different way. It's not James and John who approach Jesus, but it's their mother who comes and asks for this place of honor for her sons. Sometimes I think it's the responsibility of parents to thoroughly embarrass their children. And I think, according to Matthew's gospel, that's really probably what took place. Is you can imagine that mother going up to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I've given you my two sons. They've left home, they've left me, they've left the family, they've gone off to follow you, and I want you to do something for them. Guarantee to me that they will be your first and second lieutenants, your first and second most important people when you get into your place of power." I don't think the mother knew what she was asking, or here according to Mark's gospel, I don't know that James and John knew what they're asking. They didn't have a clue of what was going on. They were in that mode of Jesus is going to become king, he's going to become ruler, he's going to become mighty military leader, and they want to be right there beside him to be his most important advisors or captains or secretary of state or whatever positions Jesus would have for them in that position. For many ways, too, that's kind of our story as well, because we always do, too, want to be in a place of power or control, or at least we want to be recognized for the good things that we have done. When we do something for someone, we want to hear them say thank you, or we want to be lifted up and say, "Job well done." We always need that recognition, that stroking of our egos, or to be put in a place of honor, or to be put in place of power. And that's usually what the world tells us. I mean, that's who we look up to here in this world. We look up to our leaders. We look up to celebrities. We look up to sports heroes. We look up to those people who are in those places of honor. But that's the world's way of thinking. God's way of thinking is quite different. We don't always understand the way that God thinks. And even here then too, you know, Jesus said to James and John, you will drink from that cup that I drink from. You will be baptized with that same baptism. And Jesus was referring to his death, because James and John also too, after the cross and resurrection, after Jesus ascended to heaven, after James and John and the rest of the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they did go out and proclaim that good news, but James and John were also martyred. They died for their faith. They drank that same cup. But to be in the places of honor, to be on the right and to be on the left, that was not for their place to be. And if you remember your Bible stories, you may remember who was on the right and who was on the left when Jesus came into his glory. When Jesus had finished the work of salvation, Jesus had come to this earth, he had taught, he had healed people, he had proclaimed the kingdom of God, and when he finished with his mission here on this earth, and when he was in his glory, and as he said, it is finished. It wasn't a disciple on his right or on his left. It wasn't somebody rich. It wasn't somebody famous. It wasn't somebody in power who was right there beside him. But if you remember the Bible story, the one on his right and the one on his left were both thieves. They were criminals. They were people who had committed crimes and were convicted to death for those crimes. Jesus hung on the cross, and that's when he came into his glory, because that's when he had finished God's plan of salvation for us. As he took all that guilt, all that crime, and everything else, that shame upon himself that belongs to us, he took it away from us, and he put it on himself, and he died. That was Christ's time of glory. And we don't understand that. The world has a hard time understanding that. That Jesus was willing to be a servant for all. God's ways are not always our ways. We don't understand that. And we get clues of that this last summer and also now into the fall. We've heard several stories that are very near to this, of Jesus saying the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Or even some of the controversy stories as the scribes and the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. Jesus always turns it around. He gives it a meaning that the scribes and the Pharisees have a hard time comprehending or even thinking about. But yet they know it's true. Or the stories then too of Jesus predicting the cross and the resurrection. If you remember in that first one, when Jesus says that he would go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many things, that he would be handed over to his enemies, and that he would die, Peter says, no, Lord, we can't let that happen. And you remember what Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. The disciples didn't understand. We have a hard time grasping what God has in store for us, or the way that God does things for us. And a lot of times I think, because we don't understand, we get angry at God. We question God. We wonder, God, what are you doing? God, why don't you help? What is your plan here? We don't always understand God's ways. They are different than our ways. Or another story that we heard this fall then too was that story of parents bringing their children to Jesus and the disciples trying to shoo them away because Jesus was too important a person for these children. But Jesus says, let the little children come to me, for such belongs the kingdom of God. God's ways are not always our ways. We think in terms of what's important. What is great? What is number one? What is most powerful? What has the most possessions? Who is the richest? We think in those terms. We think of powerful people. But God says, or Jesus says, whoever should be greatest among you must be your servant. A good Bible story that points that out is the foot washing. In the Lutheran Church, we have two sacraments, what we call our sacraments, and that's baptism and Holy Communion. And we call those two things only sacraments because we place criteria what makes a sacrament. It needs to be commanded by Christ, it needs to have an earthly element, and it needs to have spiritual gifts given to us by God. With baptism, the earthly element is water. With Holy Communion, the earthly elements are bread and wine. The command of Christ for baptism is, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For Holy Communion, it is, do this in remembrance of me. And the gifts of grace that come with those two sacraments, with baptism, it is becoming a member of the church, becoming a member of the body of Christ, of being called a child of God and giving that gift of eternal life, that promise of eternal life. With Holy Communion, it is the forgiveness of sins and also, again, that promise, that renewal of the promise of eternal life with God, being tied to that cross and the resurrection as we partake in that body of Christ. Now, we have two, but there has been an argument that we need to have three. And the third one is the foot washing. And if you stop and think about it, there is somewhat of a credible argument for that. With foot washing, there is the earthly element, and again, that's water. There is a command. In John's Gospel, when Jesus does the foot washing there at the Last Supper, he also makes that command, you should wash each other's feet. And I guess it's where the gifts of grace come in. It may be a little bit sketchy or not as pronounced as much as with baptism or Holy Communion. But there's that whole gift of humility, that gift of servanthood, that gift of being welcomed, of making sure that you are a part and that you are welcomed. In that story of the foot washing, Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, you will never wash my feet. But Jesus was telling him, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter says, wash not only my feet, but all of me. Jesus is the servant. The person who normally does the foot washing was the lowest person in the household. It would be one of the slaves, or if not slaves, it would be the lowest person in that household who would do the foot washing, because it was a very dirty job, and somebody of importance wouldn't do such a dirty job. But Jesus did it to his disciples. Jesus did it for his disciples to wash their feet, to take that place of the lowest servant. And that's what he calls us to be, is to be servants, to serve one another. To the greatest among you must be servant of all, he says here in our gospel lesson today. One of the things I like about Scripture is that there are such many deep meanings, different ways of looking at Scripture, and new ideas do come out from Scripture. One of the things that you may not think that applies today with this whole idea of servanthood is the second commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When we think of that commandment, we think of Sunday is the time to come to church, to give that time to God, to give worship and praise, and then also the rest of the day is a time of rest, to cease doing what you normally do during the week, to take some time off, to rest, to rejuvenate, maybe to visit with family or to visit with friends, to take some time off and be renewed. And that certainly is the meaning of that commandment. But there again, with that scripture, there is more that goes along with it. Because I think that commandment also means that we are not only to rest from all the busyness of our world, but we are to rest in Christ. To rest in Christ, which means to cease from our ambitions, that ambition to be great, that ambition to be recognized, that ambition to get ahead, that ambition to be number one. To rest from that. To take a break. To stop. To enjoy the Sabbath and to remember who God is and who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. It's a time to take a break from this this busyness of life, to take a break from that normal thought pattern of thinking, what is great? To think, to reflect in a new direction. Maybe the direction that God is going. God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes it takes that minute to stop, to pause, to rest, to have a Sabbath, to reflect upon the ways of God. Whosoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.